Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Glory Glory Man United podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kyle Quinn. And joining me today is football writer Callum McFadden. How's it going, Callum? It's been a little while.
Yeah, very good. Always a pleasure to be back on the show. And, you know, when you come onto a show and the game was as crazy as the game yesterday, you know, it's always nice to be able to chew the fat and talk about it all.
Yeah, it's just a pity we weren't here under better circumstances. It just, United, of course, did get to the FA Cup final, and it would be back-to-back Manchester Derby finals. You know, in 2023, it was the first ever Manchester Derby FA Cup final, and I've had two in a row. It's just bizarre the way things work out like that. It's like buses. But United getting to that occasion has not been straightforward at all, although it was for 71 minutes. Manchester United were cruising. Even the commentator thought that was game over when Bruno Fernandes scored the third goal. But typical of United this season, they conspired to throw it away. Albeit, the second goal was a wicked deflection off Aaron Wan-Bissaka, and then the penalty that was given to Coventry. Fair enough, if that's deemed handball, but given that the Jack Grealish handball wasn't given, the Ashley Young one that wasn't given, there's no consistency this weekend. But still, United completely lost control of the game. And it happened when United's best players this season, Kobbie Mainoo and Garnacho, were substituted, which Ten Hag has done many times. He takes these players off early to the bemusement of supporters. United completely lost control. Anthony had no impact on the game. Christian Eriksen doesn't have the legs that he used to have. And United almost lost it in extra time as well. Coventry had the ball in the back of the net, and that was chalked off due to a very, very marginal offside decision. And then United won on penalties, thanks in part to Onana, and one of the Coventry players put his penalty into Rose Ed. Casemiro took a very casual penalty, and when he missed, I thought, oh, United are going to lose the shootout as well. But United squeezed through in the end, Callum. So what was your thoughts on the game?
I thought it was a really strange performance in the sense that, you know, United looked comfortable in cruising, as you say, after 70 minutes or so, and then, you know, it's as if they just flicked the switch into being the United that we've seen so many times this season. And the main thing that should be worrying for Erik ten Hag is not the fact that some of the results haven't been convincing, because at times you can, you know, play a team off the park at the woodwork several times. The opposition goalkeeper has one of their best games, but it's the manner of the performances. You know, United have been dominated, you know, in possession and in terms of the momentum of the game by Bournemouth in recent weeks. The Chelsea capitulation was horrific. And yesterday's capitulation, you know, from 3-0 up and cruising to going back to 3-3 is even more worrying, because, you know, a team like Chelsea, yes, it was a spectacular collapse, but, you know, Chelsea are a team capable of doing that, even in their current state, whereas, no disrespect to Coventry, but when you're 3-0 up against a Championship side, you have to be seeing that out as the Premier League team with the budget and probably 10 or 20 times that of Coventry, with the control in the game, with a 3-0 scoreline. You know, you simply cannot be pegged back. So for me, the manner of the performances will mask the fact that United go through, and even if United were to win the FA Cup, I just don't see a way back for them now. The alarm bells have been ringing for a number of weeks. The recruitment under Erik ten Hag has been poor. And I just do not see a world in which Ineos can look in the mirror and say he's the man to take this club forward.
Absolutely. And in recent weeks, Garnacho has been substituted, with Man United winning 3-2 against Chelsea and then lost that game. He was substituted at 2-1 against Liverpool and didn't win that game either. And then he was substituted at 3-0 yesterday, and United ended up 3-3 with Coventry. Mainoo has been substituted early in a lot of games as well. And he's the only midfielder I feel who can control games for United. Obviously, Eriksen came on, he can do that, but I haven't seen much of him in the second half of the season. And the manager's substitutions have been really called into question by the supporters, and his tactics, of course, as well, with the midfield being so wide open and so easy to create chances against United. We can see it in 20 to 30 shots in every game. And it's been a complete disaster. As you said, you alluded to performances there against Bournemouth and Chelsea and also Brentford as well. Don't know how United get out of that with a draw. That's the thing with United this season. There'll be so many defeats, but the wins have all felt as if we've stolen it, draws as well. And yeah, I think the writing's on the wall for Ten Hag. I think the league form is so bad, and that yesterday was such a disgrace, that I think even if we somehow won the final, which I don't think we will, I don't think he'd keep his job. It's going to be like the Van Gaal situation, where he could win the FA Cup and then be relieved of his duties. Like you say, they've changed so much of the personnel above him. Jason Wilcox was in the director's box for the first time yesterday. Obviously, Ashworth's coming in. Omar Berada coming in as the chief executive. And I don't see a world in which they change everybody around him and keep him, given the results on the performances this season. So, yeah, Callum, it looks as if Ten Hag's stay of execution will be about 5 weeks. Like, he could have been sacked last night or this morning had Cavendish went through. And, you know, there was a tight offside call between United winning and losing in extra time. So we could be sitting here talking about Ten Hag being sacked already. That's how close he is. But I think he'd be allowed to take charge of the remaining Premier League fixtures and the FA Cup final. But I think that'll finish it there. I think he'll be relieved of his duties. Is that how you see it then, Callum?
Yeah, I just think, as I say, the nature of the performances are what will cost them, because for all the faults that many people said that Louis van Gaal had, and there's no dispute about it, you know, some of the football wasn't the most exciting to watch, but Louis van Gaal had a system and a way of playing. It might not have been the most exciting way of playing. It might not have been something that was in keeping with the traditions of Manchester United, but he wanted to dominate possession. He wanted players to play in a rigid system, and he got them doing that. You know, that's something that he was able to do. Erik ten Hag has not been able to do that. You cannot look at this United team and tell me what their style of play is. I don't think they have one. You know, they try and counter-attack at times, but then they try and sit deep at times as well, and without looking to go forward. Sometimes they're really open and go all guns blazing. You know, they don't have a way of playing. And I think that's been shown with some of the team selections and the number of changes that he's made with personnel throughout the season. It's baffling. And the most alarming thing for the senior players at the club is the fact that, as you rightly said earlier, Kyle, the two best players for United have been Kobbie Mainoo and Alejandro Garnacho. And they are both supremely talented young players, and they deserve all the plaudits coming their way, but they need the help from the senior players around them. I mean, looking at that game yesterday and for a number of weeks, Casemiro looks as if he wants to be anywhere but in Manchester playing for United. Varane, of course, has had his injury problems this season. Lisandro Martinez seems to come back for a game or two, then break down. Marcus Rashford's form has been absolutely horrific, and he's another one like Casemiro who probably needs a change of environment. For many years, I thought, you know, you need to persevere with Rashford. He's a local lad. He's someone who gets the club, gets what the club wants to achieve. He's obviously won some trophies with the club as well before. But I think he's as much part of the malaise now as other players. And I think for his career and even for United going forward, I think there needs to be not just the manager to change in the summer, but a number of players as well. And for the first time ever, I would say Rashford should be in that conversation to be moved on. I think it would be better for United. I think it would be better for Marcus Rashford. Hopefully he could go somewhere else and rediscover some form, maybe play in Europe somewhere, because there's no doubt he's a quality footballer when he turns it on, but he just doesn't turn it on anywhere near enough. And that sums up United as a team as well. Change is definitely required. Because if Ineos backed Erik ten Hag this summer with another £150, £200 million, it could end up putting them back 3 or 4 years because his recruitment has not been inspiring, to say the least, so far. And I just don't see how he can be trusted to lead that up while Dan Ashworth and others are on gardening leave. I just think they need to make the change and get it done this summer and go in a fresh direction.
Yeah, Rashford once again was going through the motions yesterday and was again being booed by a section of the Manchester United supporters. And I have to be honest and say, whenever he limped off and Ahmad came on, I wasn't disappointed. I think Rashford, like, he had a shot on goal that was saved by the goalkeeper. He had the odd wee moment, but I thought he was very poor. And faded as the game went on. And thought Ahmad was bright when he came on. He always excites me when he plays. Of course, he's the reason why we're in the semi-final in the first place. And I can understand the manager playing Rashy, as he calls him. He must obviously like him on a personal level, like Solskjaer. I can understand him playing him consistently for a while to try and play himself back into form. But that ship had sailed weeks ago. The manager should have given up by now and just played somebody else. I don't know why he continues to start every game despite these rank bad performances every single week. And we see Garnacho being substituted when he's now Garnacho played really well yesterday and he was substituted after 65 minutes. He was taken off at half time against Bournemouth. And yet Rashford, like you see, only comes off when he's injured, usually or very late in the game. I think there was a speculation that the manager had also had a dispute with Anthony last midweek, and that's why he didn't travel to Bournemouth because he's unhappy with his lack of game time. So when Rashford continues to play and other people are being substituted or not getting minutes, then they're going to be teased off, and you can understand that. I mean, and then Roy Keane was saying yesterday after the game that United looked like the championship team. And they're a very hard team to like. And I think he said this before in the last 10 years. And he's absolutely right. You know, there's very little to like about this Man United team. I mean, they haven't actually won a game since they won the quarterfinal against Liverpool in dramatic circumstances. They've won one of their last seven Premier League games, and they've just been embarrassed by the team that's eighth in the second division. And Casemiro, as you alluded to there, I don't know what it is, if it's just he doesn't want to be there or he's just not fit. When you see him break into a sprint, he looks like a 45-year-old playing with young lads. He seems of age about 15 years in the last 2 seasons in the Premier League. He doesn't look fit at all. And, you know, you can't be having a player who's struggling that badly playing as your number six for Manchester United. And yeah, and I know there's a lack of options with the amount of injuries, but yeah, he obviously played centre back yesterday. I was worried about that because I thought, you know, he could dive in and give a penalty away. But yeah, he's another passenger, and there's so many of them in this United team. And yeah, they're dropping like flies. I mean, he used all the subs that he possibly could yesterday without actually bringing on a debutant. If he'd made a fifth sub, it would have been debutant. It just is a complete mess, and I really don't know what to say anymore. I mean, when Coventry went 4-3 up for a couple of minutes, the United end began to empty. All the United fans heading for the exits. Some of them were actually already out on the street whenever they found out it had been overturned by VAR and started trying to make their way back in again. Yeah, it's just an absolute disaster. If we win the final in that manner, that would be okay because you're playing against one of the elite teams in Europe. When you're playing against Coventry, though, to throw away a 3-goal lead and win on penalties is not acceptable. Like, most of the players didn't even celebrate that much after the shootout. They were a bit, you know, embarrassed about it. But Anthony was cupping his ears at the Coventry players, which I thought was very, very small time for a Man United player who did nothing on the day, and you know it was against a championship team. You know, what would you make of Anthony yesterday, Callum?
Yeah, I thought it was classless. You know, it was a game where both teams had to battle. You know, United were, as I say, the team in control. Coventry's comeback was, you know, absolutely sublime. You know, a team in the Championship to be able to turn over a 3-goal deficit against a team of United standing deserves, you know, incredible praise. And Mark Robbins continues to do a great job there. To then obviously win it on penalties in the fashion that United did. You know, Anthony should be ashamed of his reaction. Everybody's all for enjoying a win, but there's a way where you can be a bad loser, but there's a way you can also, in a sense, be a bad winner. You know, there's no need to rub the salt in the wounds of the Coventry players. You know, Harry Maguire, who has had a lot of criticism from myself in the past included, I thought he conducted himself very well yesterday. I thought he performed actually well on the park for most of the game. And I thought that the way he handled himself, going up and shaking hands, consoling the Coventry players that missed, was what a leader, what a Manchester United player should do. You know, Roy Keane, Gary Neville, players of the past were ferocious competitors, but I certainly don't think if they were pegged back by a championship side and winning penalties that they would be running about, cupping their ears and singing and dancing about. You know, I think you have to acknowledge that you've got away with one there, particularly with the VAR decision as well, and go into the final happy, but not go overboard, because United beating Coventry in penalties in the manner they did is nothing to sing about, nothing to dance about the streets with. It's something to shake hands with the opposition and say, unlucky, we're delighted, we'll move on. But it's certainly not something that Erik ten Hag said after the game. It's not an embarrassment, it's an achievement. And I thought, yes, getting to a cup final, of course it's an achievement getting to a cup final, but you cannot be coming out and saying that that performance and that result yesterday was any form of achievement, because, as I say, when you're 3-0 up after 70 minutes, you know you have to be winning the football match end of.
Yeah, I think Ten Hag was trying to save face in the press conference. He was under a lot of scrutiny from the journalists in the room, and you know, he was trying to put a positive spin on it, but it's not really washing with the supporters at the moment. There was a Coventry player who scored in the shootout, and he was cupping his ears at the United fans. But you know, as you say, this is Manchester United playing against Coventry and scraping through. There was nothing really to celebrate there. You just accept the win and get off the pitch and go home. You know, the fact that Coventry players were coming to the United dressing room looking for shirts, you know, when the game was over, tells you the level between the two teams. And another quote that I have to point out that I seen from Solanke recently, Dominic Solanke from Bournemouth, and this quote really hit home to me about how far Man United have fallen this season. He says, after the draw, the 2-2 draw of United, Dominic Solanke said, "We're not happy beating Manchester United. It's something that we love to do. The boys aren't happy about it." So Bournemouth now actually expect to beat Manchester United. Can you believe that, Callum?
Well, as I say, that's how far the club has fallen, you know, over the last decade or so. But also, especially this season under Erik ten Hag, you know, United, as we've said already, you know, Brentford dominated United off the park. Yes, it ends up a draw, but, you know, Brentford could have easily scored 4 or 5 goals in that game on a different day. They hit the woodwork on numerous occasions, and it was a joke to watch a team that has had as much investment in a playing side as United have had play so poorly. Bournemouth was another one, as you say, where completely and utterly dominated in terms of possession and number of chances created. Yes, you get a point, but you know, it's nothing to be writing home about. And as I say, Kyle, the problem United have got, and Ten Hag specifically, is nobody can tell you the way that Manchester United play. You know, nobody can say, oh, they try and overload you in the midfield, they attack you from wide areas, they play really good possession football. You know, it's a mishmash of everything. And unfortunately, they are not the masters of anything that they try. You know, they limp from game to game at the moment. And as you say, 1-1-7 in the Premier League sums it up. That's not the form of a team that deserves European football. That's the form of a team that deserves to be lower mid-table or even bottom half. You know, that's certainly not a team that you're looking at going, they should be in European competition next season. And I think, terrible to say this, would it be the worst thing if United weren't to be in European competition next season? I think for the level of restructure and reset that's going to be needed in the summer, I don't think it would be the worst thing. Although that being said, the fact that a team like Manchester United might not even qualify for Europe is, again, nothing short of embarrassing, given the club's great reputation in European competition.
I'm not sure what would be more humiliating, being in the Europa Conference League or not being in Europe at all. Every individual can decide that. I'm sure the media would have a field day if United were in the Conference League, just making fun of that scenario. You know, that a club of that size, because you would never see Real Madrid or Barcelona in or Bayern Munich in the UEFA Conference League. But yeah, another pretty damning stat that I seen yesterday was that United have played 17 games in this calendar year, and they've conceded 29 goals, and it could have been so much more as well. I mean, United actually conceded 13 shots to Brentford in that game, which we drew. That's what I'm saying. You know, even in the draws and wins that we have been getting, we've been lucky. We've been escaping in those games. So you just don't feel like we're building towards anything. We're either getting beat or we're just scraping by. And it's just, yeah, it's only going one way for the manager. He is not going to be there next season, despite his confidence in being there next season. In recent press conferences, he's adamant that he has the backing of the board, but their silence has been deafening. The fact that Radcliffe has neither backed him or said that he's going is pretty telling to me. I think they may have made their minds up already and are not going to communicate it until the season is over. Do you think that's possible, Callum?
I think that's probably the smartest way to do it. You know, obviously they might communicate it just before the FA Cup final, or it might be communicated after and kept under wraps until after. But there's no doubt that a change has to be made, because, you know, I think that the Manchester United fans don't seem to have a lot of faith in Erik ten Hag. They obviously are annoyed at the players and the way that sometimes they can hide behind managers, as they've done before. But as I say, the problem Erik ten Hag's got, it's not as if his recruitment has been absolutely phenomenal, and it's the players that were there before that have let him down, and he's brought in these new players that are going to look great, and they've been the real difference makers. You know, the recruitment's been poor, there's no defined style of play. Yes, he won the League Cup last season, and credit to him for winning a trophy, but you know, Manchester United have to be bigger than just winning a League Cup and finishing in the Champions League places one season to then potentially being out of Europe altogether the next season and maybe being trophyless. You know, and yes, you could argue, of course, if he wins the FA Cup, then that's a major piece of silverware and would merit him staying on. But as I say, I just don't think that can be the case now. I think it's too far gone. He should be allowed to see the season out, hopefully win the FA Cup from his perspective and go out on a high. But, you know, United, for me, have to be looking at a new manager who can take the club forward in the next couple of seasons, because if you're going to have a new technical director in Jason Wilcox, who's now in place, you're going to have a new chief executive, you're going to have a new director of football, you're trying to restructure the facilities at the club as well as, you know, the playing staff and improving and results improving. For me, it's the perfect time to do it. The club's going through a state of change, and you need to get a manager in who can be a real positive change agent to take the club on and hopefully, you know, see Manchester United get back to competing again for league titles in years to come. It's certainly not going to be a quick fix. You know, I don't think United will be competing for a league title in the next two or three seasons. I think it's going to take longer than that, but they have to make sure that they can at last get a consistent, steady level of progression towards doing so, rather than the usual finish second or third, fall to seventh, back up to fourth, back up to second, back down to seventh. You know, they need to try and bring some consistency back, where United, maybe for the next 4 or 5 years, don't win a Premier League title, but they don't fall out of the top four. They're always a team that you can see them over there or thereabouts, because, you know, the last 10 years there's been some, I say highs, relative highs, but there's been some incredible lows as well. There's been no set level of consistency, which most of the top clubs in European football have.
Yeah, another thing that we haven't mentioned is the fact that United finished bottom of the Champions League group. Now, I know a couple of times in the past, before Ten Hag's arrival, and even under Fergie, United maybe finished third in the Champions League group now and again, but to finish bottom and go out of Europe altogether was absolutely unacceptable. And I think he would have to win all the remaining Premier League games and the FA Cup final to even give himself a chance of staying on for next season. But that's not going to happen the way United are playing. They've got Burnley and Sheffield United next, and they might win those games at Old Trafford. But that might be in the home game against Burnley next Saturday might be United's last win of the season, given that the fixtures they've got to come, given they've got to play Arsenal, Newcastle, Brighton away, and then Manchester City in the FA Cup final. Of course, Palace away as well, who are on good form at the moment. So those two home games against the bottom two might be United's last victories of the season, if indeed they do win those games. But the way United are playing and the injuries are mounting, the season is just petering out. I really, really fear what could happen in the FA Cup final. Now, the scoreline wasn't too bad, you know, last year in the Cup final. I felt that Manchester City had the majority of the chances on the play. The scoreline was respectable, but I'm fearing on this occasion the scoreline might not be respectable. But who knows? United tend to play better against the bigger clubs, and they might have a few players back from injury for the final, like Luke Shaw and Lisandro Martinez, if Martinez can stay fit for more than one game, and they might give them a chance. But at this moment in time, I would say United will get embarrassed in the FA Cup final. But I think it has got to the point it doesn't matter whether they win or lose. I think he'll be, you know, cut loose when the game's over. I want to get on to Andre Onana. It seems strange in a game where United conceded three goals to a championship team where he's one of United's better players and one of the few players that come out of the game with a bit of respect still intact. I would say Onana, Bruno and Maguire are probably the only players whose reputation didn't take a hit yesterday. Now, some people might say Dalot, but I am not one of those people who gets carried away with Dalot. I think, of course, he got another assist yesterday, and I think he's okay in the... on the other end of the pitch, but I think he fancies himself too much as a right wing back, and even comes inside and plays as an extra midfielder. But his primary job is to defend, and I don't think he's all that good at that. Sometimes he makes last ditch blocks or interventions. Did that yesterday to prevent a goal, but his one on one defending is very suspect, and he gets caught ball watching a lot, and doesn't see his man at the back post. So I don't get carried away with Dalot the way some fans have this season. But three or four players at the maximum came out of this game with any respect intact. Maguire has done really well to get back to where he was a couple of years ago, because he had a dreadful period there of really bad form, being lampooned by opposition supporters, being booed by United supporters. And he's shown great mental strength and resilience. And now he's a first choice for United, our only fit senior centre-back. And yesterday, he obviously scored from a corner, which you want to see more of. It did feel for a while like he only does that for England. And then he went on another one of those marauding runs forward, as he does against kind of inferior opposition. I think he almost scored from that marauding run. He had a shot from a tight angle that I thought went in. But look at it this way. When Maguire is your best player, you know United are not playing well. You know, what does that say about the rest of the team?
Well, that's it. You know, Maguire being one of your best players, you know, talking about Onana as well, you know, coming out of the game with a level of respect against the Championship side. You know, if it was an away game against lower league opposition, you know, teams can struggle. You know, it's going to be maybe a tight pitch, or the pitch isn't in the best condition. But, you know, this is a game at Wembley, you know, where United fans are there in full voice. Coventry fans were there in the same voice as well, it's safe to say. But, you know, you're playing in an immaculate pitch, a massive venue where United have had experience of playing before the FA Cup final last season, the League Cup final last season. You know, it's not as if it's a completely alien place and atmosphere to them. So, yeah, really, really poor, you know, for the majority of the team. As I say, Casemiro, for me, is a massive red flag at the moment. You know, that just is not a good look for United. The fact that they paid so much money for him and have given him such a massive contract, and that's the level of performance and level of fitness that he's showing, because at the end of the day, he's the sort of player that needs to be one of the senior players. You know, he's had a fabulous career in football, you know, one of the best holding midfielders of his generation. You know, he absolutely is that, and his legacy when he retires will be intact. But at the same time, he cannot be playing like he's already retired, and that he's just, you know, having a relaxing day at the office. You know, Jamie Redknapp is a pundit who, I have to say, I don't necessarily think always provides the most detailed and best level of analysis, but he made a point that he looked in his defensive motions a couple of weeks ago against Bournemouth like he was playing in a soccer aid match where, you know, you can just jog back into position, get the ball, you know, play around with it, do what you want with it, and if you lose it, don't worry about it, someone else will be there for me. And that was probably a good analogy, because he certainly doesn't look like he's playing in competitive action at the moment. He looks as if he's playing in that sort of charity testimonial type match where if he loses the ball, it's not the end of the world, you know, somebody else will get it, or it doesn't really matter. There's nothing really riding on this, whereas, you know, there's something riding on any game when you play for Manchester United, you know, whether you can't get into the Champions League or you can't get into this, you know, you still have to have your personal pride, you still have to play for the club, play for the supporters, because, you know, they're there in full voice every single week at home, away, abroad. And, you know, it's a disservice to them to not be putting in, you know, performances that they deserve. And he's not the only one, of course, Casemiro, but I think at the moment, unfortunately for him, he sticks out like a sore thumb because of who he is, what he's achieved before, and the price that was paid for him. But yeah, I would agree with you, Kyle, in terms of Maguire, Fernandes, and Onana probably being the three senior players that came out of yesterday without a massive nosedive in their reputation.
Yeah, I think it was in the second half where Casemiro might have been extra time, I can't remember, but he was in a sprint with a Coventry attacker and he couldn't get anywhere near him. It seemed as if he was trying to run as hard as he could, but he was just so slow. I just couldn't believe it. I was actually looking at my mates thinking, is this for real? Is this how slow Casemiro is now when he sprints? I mean, he just looked like he's aged, you know, a decade and a half overnight. I just cannot believe it. And he needs to be moved on in the summer. Yeah, this is a point I wanted to make, is that obviously I feel Ten Hag should be moved on, but there's no point in getting rid of another manager and keeping the same crop of players again. So many players have been here a long time and they have had their chance. And you've alluded to Rashford earlier, and he's one of them. I think needs to be moved on. I think it'd be better for all parties if they part ways with Rashford. And PSG have been long-term admirers of him. Mbappe is leaving this summer, so there might be an opportunity there if they're still interested after watching him this season. Not only do they need to get rid of, you know, squad players, but I think a couple of big names should go as well. Rashford being one of them, Casemiro, Varane, Wan-Bissaka, Christian Eriksen probably needs to move on. He's not playing much football. And whilst I don't dislike Scott McTominay, who's got 10 goals this season now, I think he's a real sellable asset. I don't think he's the greatest midfielder in the world in terms of his ability on the ball, but he makes those late runs into the box and he gets you goals. And so many clubs in the Premier League will be dying to have that asset and be willing to pay 30 or 40 million for him. And United, with the PSR rules, might look to move him on. So I would take that opportunity as well and try to get in some better quality. United need to move not only fringe players on, but some senior players on and bring in younger players. And I can see that happening. I think it's going to be over the course of the next three transfer windows, the two summer windows and the January one in between, I think United squad is going to change drastically. Victor Lindelof is another player who needs to be moved on as well. He's been here a very long time. Would you agree with all that, Colin?
Yes, the only problem is, you know, trying to move them all on is going to be a big task. And the issue also is the players that Erik ten Hag have brought to the club have not necessarily, as I say, pulled up any trees. You know, Antony's been really poor. Amrabat, of course, you would expect to return. He's been poor since he came in. Martinez has been good when he's played, but he's injured a lot. Malacia, he's completely out of the picture due to injury as well. And you look at, as I say, the recruitment he's made, and for me, as I say, that's why he has to move on. It's not just the case that, you know, these players are poor and they're hiding behind the manager and another manager. You know, that there might be part of it that is related to that, but at the same time, I don't think anyone can say he has painted himself in a great light over the course of the two seasons at United. And, you know, maybe he would be, he would never admit this publicly, but he probably might even feel relieved when it's all over. You know, he could potentially go back to Ajax. He could potentially wait it out and take over the Netherlands, maybe after the Euros in the summer. You know, there will be other opportunities for him to manage at a good level. I don't think people will be too put off by his two seasons at United because, you know, Louis van Gaal struggled, Jose Mourinho struggled. Other managers and coaches have come in and not had the desired impact. David Moyes, of course, as well, many years ago. So, you know, I think it's one of those where you'll get another job in a good league and a good environment, you know, if the United spell comes to an end. So, although a lot of those players have to go, I think, as I say, it needs to be a reset throughout the whole club. You think you need to get a new manager and coaching staff in there. I think you need to get, you know, the recruitment right. You know, United can't just be seen as a home to players approaching retirement like Varane, like Casemiro, like Cavani in years gone by, Falcao and others. You know, United need to be a forward-thinking club that can identify a player before they're then sold on for 80 or 100 million. You know, I'm not saying United want to buy players to then sell them on, but, you know, I know it's not worked out for them at Chelsea, but United could have had, say, someone like Moises Caicedo for 4.5 million quid. And then they only get interested when he's worth 80, 90, 100 million quid. You know, United need to get better at identifying players that are ready for that step up to the top level just before they go to another top level club, like an Ajax, like a Bayer Leverkusen, a Dortmund, a Sevilla, a Valencia, or whatever it may be, where you then have to pay top dollar to attract them to your club. So I think that has to be United's priority. And Dan Ashworth's track record with recruitment has been impressive over the whole. He'll get a lot of criticism, of course, for the Sandro Tonali transfer, but you know, everyone was lauding it at the time without knowing the full extent of the circumstances behind the scenes there. So, you know, they have to just get some deals done that players that can come in and make an impact right away, but also players that can develop, because how many players come to United and actually improve, actually kick on? You know, Mourinho talked about Diallo being potentially, you know, one of the best fullbacks in European football if he was to fulfil his potential. He's certainly not fulfilled that at United. Someone like Aaron Wan-Bissaka, he came to United with a limitation of ability on the ball, but he was a really good recovery tackler and he was a solid enough defender. Has he changed much from when he arrived? I wouldn't say so. And there's so many of those players that you look at. Mason Mount's another one. He's came to United and you forget he's there half the time. And again, that's just the malaise that the club is in, and it needs to be a reset throughout the whole club, as I say, on the park and off the park, to try and return the United to a consistent level of performance rather than one year decent, the next year terrible, and going up and down like a zigzag. You know, United need to try and get some consistency around the club in all areas and progress forward naturally from there.
Yeah, I'm very sad about the Mason Mount situation. He's a player that I'm a fan of, and he was just back from injury. He was making, you know, a sub appearance in every game, and he scored against Brentford, which is a wonderfully taken goal with his left foot. And now he's injured again. I cannot believe it. You know, wasn't sad about Amrabat being unavailable, but Mason Mount was just beginning his United career, getting that goal, you know, impressing in his cameo appearances, and was anticipating them getting a start very soon. And now it's another injury setback. Hopefully, it's not too serious, and he doesn't miss the rest of the season or anything like that. Hopefully, he just misses one game and he's back in again. But I suspect that might not be the case. But yeah, many fans have pointed out that Ten Hag shouldn't have been the recruiter anyway. But the fact that he was or is, and it's went so badly, it still reflects badly on him. When the new hierarchy are doing an evaluation on Ten Hag's performance so far, they are going to look at the recruitment. You know, it makes you doubt his judgment. And people say it shouldn't have been his job. He should be given a chance under a new hierarchy who do recruiting for him, like so many other top managers are used to, like Klopp and Guardiola. But it still reflects badly on him. that he has signed so many mediocre players who United, and Anthony the prime example, United will struggle to move him on now. He's on a big contract, he's on huge wages. And that's why I didn't mention him when I was talking about players who need to leave, because I just think it's going to be impossible to shift him this summer. United might need to loan him out and see how it goes. Yeah, that also brings me on to Sancho and Greenwood. I think they should be sold as well, and United should get, you know, decent fees for them. Sancho's doing reasonably well at Dortmund during the Champions League semi-final. He played 86 minutes of their quarter-final against Atletico, and he's got the odd goal and assist as well. And the fact that he's even starting games and playing to nearly the finish, obviously the Dortmund manager must be happy with him. And Greenwood's done well at Getafe. Most fans probably wouldn't want either of those back at United. Obviously, for very different reasons. So there is a chance for United to make some money in the transfer market. That's another thing United have been really poor at in recent years, since Ed Woodward took over, basically, is not getting decent transfer fees for players. We've seen the likes of Liverpool and Man City sell players to other Premier League clubs for 20 to 25 million who haven't made an appearance in the first team. Whereas United are giving away really talented players for a packet of crisps, like James Garner, for example, Mengi to Luton, under the other examples where United have got really, really small fees for players. Remember they got rid of Johnny Evans for 6 million or something like that? And they've ended up bringing him back. I think he's actually better than he ever was because he's got it up here. He reads the game really well. It's his, but unfortunately, his legs have gone. If only we had the legs of Johnny Evans when he was 21 and the brain of the 36-year-old combined, and then we'd have a hell of a defender. He'd be one of the best defenders in the world. But he's injured again at the moment, unfortunately. There must be an entire 11 out. But some journalists have written stories that Ten Hag's intense training methods have led to some of these injuries, that it's at least in part responsible for the injury crisis, and that the likes of Guardiola does light sessions in between games, and we don't see City having as many injuries. Do you think there's something to that, Callum?
Well, I think the number of injuries that they've had, you know, suggests that there's either something fundamentally wrong in the nature of training and sessions or recovery, or it's just a freak season and freak injuries. But, you know, the number and the volume of them does make you wonder, you know, what's going on there. And as I say, with Ten Hag, with the playing staff, you know, I just think United need a complete and utter re-evaluation and reset of every area of the club. Why is this person in charge of the medical department? Why is this person in charge of the data analysis department? Why is this person in charge of the recruitment? Why is this person in charge of the youth setup? And as I say, not everyone is going to have to go. I mean, look at Nick Cox in charge of the academy. I think he's doing a lot of good work there. The analysis department, Paul Brand and others that have been there for a number of years, you know, they're very good at what they do. You know, they are groups of people, you know, that can provide value to the football club. But there are maybe other areas where, you know, they can be modernised. There can be maybe more staff hired to ease the workload burden on some of the staff that are already there. There are lots of things that United need to consider going forward. You know, there's been talk that there's over 1,000 employees at United, and Sir Jim Ratcliffe ideally would like to streamline that. Again, whether there's truth in that, I don't know, but it's certainly been reported by numerous sources. So, you know, they have to have a real root and branch review of what is it that's going well at this football club on and off the park, what desperately needs improved as a matter of urgency, and what can be future-proof and think about, you know, replacing in the years to come. Because you might have someone at the club that's fantastic off the field at what they do, but they might be approaching retirement age or they might fancy a new challenge. So you should always have a list of names of, if we get rid of this manager or this CEO or this head of recruitment or this technical director, who are we going to go after next? Whereas United's problem in the 10 years has been, we'll go for David Moyes, homegrown manager, picked by Sir Alex, knows the Premier League. Right, we're going to go somewhere else. We're going to get Louis van Gaal. Right, we're going to get Jose Mourinho in. Right, we're going to give it to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer on a permanent basis. We'll get Ralf Rangnick in, who is an exceptional builder of clubs, but we'll put him in the dugout and we won't let him do what he's good at. You know, United have just been, as I say, going from pillar to post, you know, one extreme to another. And as I say, for me, I keep coming back to it, they just need to get a base of consistency across every department in the football club of what it is they want to achieve, who it is they have identified to be in these roles, and they need to have real aims and drives to move the club forward. You know, there's no point of saying we're going to put all this in place to succeed for a year, then fall back for two or three. United need to have a consistent approach where they can build the club and move forward organically and grow, rather than, as I say, going from one extreme to the other, because it's that lack of consistency that makes the club look like a basket case. You know, you can attract top level players. United have got a name, they've got a brand all around the world, but eventually that's not always going to be enough to attract top level players and top level coaches. You need to give them an environment where they can flourish.
Yeah, I think we will see continuity now with this new team above the manager of Ashworth, Wilcox and Omar Barada. I think even if they have to, you know, they're going to bring in a new manager undoubtedly in May. And if in the future they have to change the manager again, I still expect it to be someone with a similar playing style to the one they just sacked. So they don't have to change the entire squad to facilitate the manager change like they have done in the last 10 years, which you've alluded to. You know, like Brighton already know who their new manager is going to be before the old manager leaves. And United need to look at, you know, they don't have the budget of Manchester City. They probably won't be in a situation where they can have, you know, the bench that is full of quality like Manchester City. Their squad is just miles above anyone else's. The players that they can call upon, you know, it amazes me how they're able to keep players happy who aren't playing every week, and Guardiola manages it. So United should be looking at the likes of Liverpool and Arsenal, and then of the Arsenal, it hasn't resulted in trophies yet, but it has been relatively successful under Arteta. With Liverpool as well. United need to look at how they've gone about recruiting and selling players, and look at the markets that they've recruited players from, recruit the similar profile of players that Liverpool and Arsenal have got, because Liverpool and Arsenal are very similar clubs to United, probably very, very similar budgets. And if United could use their budget more wisely and get the players they need to fit the style that the club want to play, then they'll be more successful. And, you know, we need to have the director of football being in charge of the style of the club we're going to play, rather than every manager. So when you change a manager, that's all you're changing, just the coach, and that's it. And not having to accommodate the next manager style, you want to have that continuity. And I do believe that's going to happen now. It's been a long time coming. It's so obvious. You know, every other club he's doing it, but United have been run like a business for so long, and are only catching up now with these new co-owners coming in. So I'm just going to do a quick rundown of the player ratings, and then I'm going to ask you a very important question afterwards. So Andre Onana, one of United's best performers on the day, made a good save during the game and also saved a penalty. And he said afterwards that he was using his tricks during the shootout. I think he had the penalty taker, forgive me for not knowing his name, who put his penalty over the bar. I think Onana was saying something to him to try and put him off. So he was channeling his inner Emi Martinez, although it wasn't quite as obvious to the spectators. He actually got booked during the penalty shootout, as did Martinez on Thursday night. So I think Onana will now miss the game against Sheffield United. So it might be another chance for Bayenda to play. So Sabin for Onana. Diogo Dalot, yeah, got the assist. I think he prevented a goal as well. But I'm still not convinced by him as a defender. He'd probably make a really good right wing back, but that's not the position he's playing in. So I'll say 6 for Dalot. Casemiro, I think we've talked about it a lot. Just looks like a guy who needs to either retire or go to one of those he go to America or Saudi Arabia and, you know, and coast, because that's all he seems capable of doing now. So a four for Casemiro. Harry Maguire would be my man of the match. I give him a 7.5. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, once again, struggled at left back. Was obviously played a big part in Coventry getting back in the game. Was But one was a big deflection that came off him, and one was a, some might say, a harsh penalty. But for the deflection, you should never have turned his back. That's rule number one as a defender. When you're trying to block a shot, you don't turn your back. So it'd be four for Wan-Bissaka. I don't understand why he was taken off again. The only United midfielder capable of slowing the game down and controlling it when you need to. Six for Menu. McTominay scored. That's what he's there to do. 6 out of 10. Garnacho had a really good performance. I felt very, very unlucky to be substituted. He would get a six for me. Marcus Rashford, absolutely abysmal again. And it got worse as the game went on, and then went off injured. He might be out of the next game as well, looking at how he limped across the mix zone. He would get a 3 out of 10 for me. And Højlund, another quiet game from him. We often talk about the lack of service, which is true. But he had a big chance in extra time, I think it was, and he took too long to get a shot away, and then there was many players around him, and the chance was gone. He only seems to get one chance in games for United, apart from that spell where he was scoring in every game. Outside of that, he's had one chance in every match, and he has to take it because there's so few, but didn't on this occasion. But of course, he scored the winning penalty, and it was a well-taken penalty. So I'll give him a 5.5. I don't think it was quite enough for a six. And the substitutes, Eriksen scored his penalty, for a play. Moi Fozan came on, Ahmad came on, and Anthony came on. Anthony was probably the one who was on long, only the one that was on long enough to give him a rating, and he had no impact whatsoever. That would be a 3 out of 10 for me. And our Ten Hag, an embarrassing day for the manager, probably the day that sealed his fate, I would say, despite the fact United went through to the final, and be a 3 out of 10 for Ten Hag. So Callum, here's the question that many United fans have been asking, and it's very difficult to find an answer. Who is going to be the next manager of Manchester United?
I think the manager that United should be looking to attract and go for is Ange Postecoglou at Tottenham. I think he's got a proven track record of winning everywhere he's been. You could say other than Tottenham, but he's only been there a season so far. He was a he revolutionised everything at Celtic in the 2 seasons he was there. He's won league titles in his native Australia. He's won league titles in Japanese football. He won the Asian Cup when he was manager of Australia. He qualified Australia to 2 World Cups. He now has a year of Premier League experience under his belt. And the other thing that I think would work in his favour is he's a clear, defined style of play, something that United lack. It's an attacking style of play, something that would excite the United fans. And he's a character who I think would succeed as manager of Manchester United if given the time to, implement his ideas, and he had a good recruitment structure behind him. So Ange Postecoglou is the manager I think United should be going for. Other managers that I think will inevitably be linked. Ruben Amorim is in talks at the moment. It's been reported by David Ornstein with West Ham. It looks as if he's not going to be the next manager of Liverpool. Could he become an option for United? Maybe well, you would wonder, well, if Liverpool have got cold feet on him, then why would United go for him? But he's still a name that will be mentioned. Roberto De Zerbi will be mentioned. Dan Ashworth, of course, was at Brighton in the past. He'll be mentioned. Graham Potter will be mentioned because of his links to various people that are now at United as well, although I don't think that'd be a good option. And I suppose the big one that I think, well, I don't think it would be the right appointment for United, but I wouldn't be surprised if fans start to want him, would be maybe Thomas Tuchel, certainly if he gets Bayern Munich to the Champions League final. I think that's one that potentially may ramp up. He could arrive at United as a Champions League winning coach for the second time. As I say, personally, I don't think Thomas Tuchel would be the answer for United because, he's got a habit of falling out with people at various clubs, and there's nothing wrong with that when you're delivering trophies and success. But at the same time, as I said earlier, United need to get a consistent way of playing, a consistent approach across the club, and I don't think they can have a volatile figure who comes in and does a good job for 18 months, 2 years, and then puts them back once again. I think, for me, that's why I think Ange Postecoglou would be the perfect next Manchester United manager.
Yeah, Tuchel has been linked again in the last 24 hours. I think he's a very pragmatic coach, and we've had that with Mourinho, and most of the fans don't love that approach. As you say, he can be very volatile, he can fight with people. And being the Bayern Munich manager, the first Bayern Munich manager to not win the title since 2012, which is not a good look. But if he adds a second Champions League title to CV, then more United fans might get on board with that one. But yeah, if it's probably not a good fit. And I don't, like, if you had to move him on in 18 months or 2 years, you probably had to change the style again, which is we've just talked about. That's what you don't want to do. You want to have continuity. Ange Postecoglou, that's definitely a new one that on me that has been mentioned before. Probably one of the main reasons because he's only been at Tottenham a year, but that is an interesting shout, because he's been successful everywhere he's been up until Tottenham. And Tottenham's a very hard, he's only been there a year, of course, but it's a very hard club to be successful with, given who they're, given their budget and who they're competing with. But it does look as if they will, well, they're competing with Aston Villa for the final Champions League spot, as England are not going to get the extra spot, given how poorly English teams have done in Europe this season. So let's hope that he gets that fourth spot, and that'll improve his standing. But that would be an interesting one. He has taken some criticism this season for the high line that he plays, and even when Tottenham were down to nine men against Chelsea, he still played the high line. It's very, very risky, and yeah, fans will like it because it's entertaining. But I can also see criticism coming his way because he's not seeing out games whenever he should, or taking a more pragmatic approach at times. He always seems to play the same way. But yeah, I wouldn't be against it. And Ineos have shown that they're willing to buy people out of their contracts, or wait until they come available. So I know a lot of these appointments they've made so far have come totally out of the blue, and they've been, they're still trying to negotiate money for Dan Ashworth. So it wouldn't surprise me if they go for a manager who's already at a rival club, who they might have to pay compensation for. So that would be interesting. So do you feel under the new structure, if Postecoglou came in this summer, that he eventually would win the Premier League with Manchester United?
I think that's a big ask, because I think whoever wins the Premier League next for Manchester United is going to need time to get there. I don't think it's going to be a quick fix to win the Premier League with them. So I don't know is my honest answer. I know that's sitting on the fence. I would potentially maybe say unlikely, because I think you might need a manager to come in and put the building blocks in place, implement a style of play, the structure behind the scenes gets embedded, and it might eventually then be the next manager after this one coming in the summer that really benefits from that. Do I think he would get United competing for trophies on a consistent basis if given the backing and the time? Yes. As I say, I think I watched these style of play at Celtic up hand very close for a couple of years, and people will say, oh, it's only Scottish football, and that shouldn't necessarily be the be all and end all for a club like United. Not necessarily. I would agree with you, but at the same time, he has a track record of winning wherever he's been, whether that be with his national team, whether that be with various clubs. And he has Tottenham playing really exciting football, and as you say, they might not end up qualifying for the Champions League, but don't forget, this is a Tottenham team that lost their all-time record goal scorer this summer. This is a team that's technically in transition as well, and he's got them competing. He's had a lot of injuries this season as well. So for me, I just think that's the style of manager. He's got a big personality, a big character, and a really defined style of playing that, as you say, Kyle, might frustrate people at times because he isn't the most pragmatic coach. But at the same time, United are built on attack, 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 entertaining the fans and going for games. Ferguson famously said he was a gambler in the sense that he would throw
an extra couple of strikers on at the expense of defenders and rather lose 4-0 by trying to win 2-1 if they were 1-0 down. You know, he'd rather ship another 3 goals in the hope of maybe getting 2 to win the game 2-1 than, you know, than not. So I think that's why, for me, a manager like Postecoglou would be perfect at this moment in time, because there's not a great deal of managers available. You know, you look at someone like Antonio Conte, I think that's a complete non-starter for United. I don't think Thomas Tuchel will be the man United go for. Lots of people talk about Zidane. I think he's waiting out for the French national team job. I don't think he's the sort of manager that's going to come to United. So for me, Postecoglou is a manager at a club who you would have to buy his contract, who I think would be a good appointment for United, because, as I say, I don't see you getting an Ancelotti. I don't see you, you know, you're certainly not going to get someone like Jurgen Klopp, you know. So there's not a great deal of managers out there that United can turn to at this moment in time, where maybe in the past, guys like Klopp were at Dortmund and, you know, Pep Guardiola was taking a sabbatical, or Mourinho at the time was available many years ago. You know, there's not an elite coach sitting there who's perfect, ready for action, waiting to walk in from being unemployed into the job. So for me, as I say, that's why Postecoglou would be the manager I would appoint, because I think it would be something that could take United forward in the next couple of years to better days. Whether he's the man who then delivers the title, I don't know, but I certainly think he would go close.
Yeah, and I do like his refreshing honesty in press conferences. I've seen many of them throughout this season, and I think journalists really enjoy talking to him. I think Ten Hag's the complete opposite. You know, I remember even Ten Hag's first press conference, he was giving one-word answers to journalists, and he's not the most charismatic coach. I think Spurs even turned down Ten Hag because they felt that he lacked charisma, and United decided that wasn't important. Postecoglou is a big personality, and that would be another exciting element to him become manager, and certainly would be entertained. There's no doubt about that. And given that he does win trophies no matter where he goes, up until Spurs, and still have to give him a chance to do that at Spurs, then yeah, he certainly does have the CV to succeed at United. And people who are snobs about Scottish football need to look at where Manchester United got their most successful manager from Scottish football. So I wouldn't be against going for someone of that ilk again. But just finally, I wanted to ask you about the potential of a Serie A coach coming in. A couple of them have been linked in Simone Inzaghi, been very, very successful in Italy with Lazio and Inter Milan, and an up-and-coming coach like Thiago Motta at Bologna, who are currently fourth in Serie A, and that would be a huge achievement for a club like that to qualify for the Champions League. What would you think about the potential of them to come to Old Trafford? Do you think they would be good appointments?
I think Inzaghi would be a very good appointment because he's obviously won trophies. He's an exciting coach who's getting a lot of plaudits at the moment, and you know, the Inter Milan fans are really happy. You know, there's a few that I follow on social media that host the Italian football podcast, and they completely rave about, you know, Inzaghi, and they want Inter to tie him down to a real long-term contract to protect him. In terms of Motta, I think he's doing an exceptional job. I think it's too soon to consider him for a club like Manchester United. He obviously had a top-level career in the game, so he could handle the pressure of being at a big club, but I just think, you know, United needs someone with a stronger track record, a stronger level of experience, and that's why, as I say, I lean to someone like a Postecoglou, because, you know, I just think the track record of succeeding at different clubs, different countries, and having that style of play would be unique. You know, he's also got experience to call on, but, you know, inexperience, you know, that isn't necessarily a bad thing. I just think United and this squad of players, though, need someone with a strong personality who's going to put it on the table and say, this is what I demand and this is what I expect. And, you know, I wouldn't like a coach to come in who's an up-and-coming coach and approach it like that and not get the respect back, you know, that they deserve. So that's why I would like to see a more experienced appointment. But Inzaghi, for me, yeah, would be a very strong appointment. And if it was someone like him, someone like an Ange Postecoglou, then I think that would be a good, solid appointment for Manchester United going forward in the coming years.
Yeah, because United is an absolute beast of a club, and I think you need a big personality to take charge of United. You can't have someone like David Moyes, who people call him a tourist when he was sitting and he couldn't believe that he was sitting in Fergie's chair. And Solskjaer just seemed like far too nice a guy to be managing Manchester United. Didn't quite have the personality. You know, you need to have, you know, Louis van Gaal was, and Mourinho were definitely the right characters. Probably just wasn't at the right stage of their careers to be managing United. And obviously they didn't have the structure behind them that helped them to help them be successful. As we know, you know, as soon as Mourinho finished second in the league, then they just cut most of the transfer funds, and all he brought in was Dalot and Fred and a third choice goalkeeper, rather than pushing on to win the league. Because under in the Woodward era, all before Radcliffe came in, all I really cared about was qualifying for the Champions League, and that's it. Once they did that, then the spending stopped. But yeah, Inzaghi has won 8 trophies in Serie A to date, I believe, and he also finished runners up to Guardiola's Manchester City in a Champions League final, only losing 1-0 to second half goal from Rodri, which is very, very respectable given the difference in resources. So he looks an astute coach, and I'd be all for that. But he plays a 3-5-2 formation primarily, and I know it's been in Germany. The media out there have been linking United with Jeremy Frimpong, the Bundesliga winner, who's the right wing back for Bayer Leverkusen. Obviously scores quite a lot for a wing back. He scored against West Ham there last Thursday, and if United are actually in talks to bring him in, then Inzaghi would make a lot of sense, because United are going to need to recruit wing backs if they're going to bring in a coach who's going to play a 3-5-2. So that would be a really, really interesting one. But we've talked about a number of names there, and that just kind of sums it up. We've no idea who it's going to be. You know, when Moyes was sacked, we knew that it was going to be Van Gaal. When Van Gaal was sacked, we knew it was going to be Mourinho. Solskjaer, when he did well as interim, we knew he was going to get the job permanently. And then when we knew in April that Ten Hag was going to be taken over while Rangnick was in charge. But at the moment, we have absolutely no idea who it's going to be. It's completely open. We just hope it's not going to be Graham Potter or Gareth Southgate. I just don't think they meet the criteria to be a successful coach at Manchester United. I think the job would be far too big for them. I know Gareth Southgate is managing England, but international football is very different to managing a club. It is only a part-time job. And Gareth Southgate's last club job was 15 years ago when he was relegated with Middlesbrough. So I don't think that would be a good choice. But Callum, it has been a pleasure as always having you on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. Always enjoy it. And it will certainly be interesting to see what happens at United in the coming weeks and months ahead.
Absolutely. Hopefully a lot of change at United in the summer. And we can start being a real football club for a change, and start building towards a successful future. If everyone could please like, share and subscribe to the podcast. And I shall see you later, Callum.
See you later. Take care.
All right. Bye.